Over the years, I've perhaps been a little bit too hard on the notion of prophetic speculation, if you want to call it that, or whatever it is. Or at least I think I've described it in terms such as that it's needless or something like that. And while it's, I still don't think it's as critical as some people think. As I was reading these texts, I realized that perhaps I had sent a wrong message, that even asking the question is a problem. And that's where the sermon title comes from, that it's okay to want to know. All through Scripture, we have all kinds of questions and answers, and I think one of the things that we can take from that is that there's really no question that's off limits as far as what's going to happen in the future or what God means for us or anything like that. I think it's possible for us to spend too much time on the wrong question, which is just part of being human. I mean, we frequently do that. The number of times I've been around people who have let slip that the single largest time segment of their morning is deciding what to wear. I think your breakfast should take longer than that. I think to have a healthy life, that could just be my own way of thinking. But it's okay to want to know, because wanting to know is completely different than having to know. The questions that the disciples ask at the beginning of Jesus, at the beginning of Acts, where they say, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" That's how it's placed in, or how it's stated in this translation. There's nothing wrong with him asking that question. Jesus doesn't say, "Don't ask the question." What he says is, "Well, that's not for you to know the times or dates. God the Father's done that. That's not the biggest issue." The disciples wanted to know if Israel was being restored, and that's not an unreasonable question for them to ask. Jesus had proclaimed himself in somewhat elliptical language, but it talked about himself as Messiah, and they had a particular category of actions that fit in with that, and they weren't seeing it, so it's okay for them to ask. And Jesus then says, "Well, that's not the issue." He goes on to say, in a very well-known verse in Acts 1:8, "But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be witnesses to Jesus in Jerusalem, Judea, and all Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth." It's not that he sidesteps the question. This isn't somebody just ignoring what they say. He's saying, "Well, that's not the issue. This is what really matters. We don't know the dates and times, but this is what's going to happen." When we look at our reading in 1 Peter, as you can see that what direction my brain was going as I was reading through these, we have this very interesting little remark where Peter says that Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will restore himself, or will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. And what does a little while mean? That's a tricky little phrase there. What is Peter referring to, or who is Peter referring to? Is he speaking specifically to a group of people who are undergoing some suffering, which I think is true, but is he also speaking to the larger picture of believers who will have to suffer a little while? That little while has been going on for a couple of thousand years now. So it's okay to ask, I think. It's okay to want to know, what does a little while even mean? And we have to be careful with these sorts of things. I remember just a little while ago, Heather and I were talking about how what you say doesn't necessarily communicate what you want it to communicate, because at some point, I have no idea what the situation was, but the kids asked about something, and Heather said, "Maybe." And they sort of threw up their hands and said, "Well, maybe means no." No, no means no. Maybe means possibly. It might mean no this time, and maybe it often means no, but it doesn't have to mean no. If we don't know what is going on behind a particular phrase, it's very easy for us to misunderstand. And wanting to know what this kingdom of God looked like, wanting to know what this little while means, isn't a bad thing, as long as we don't lose sight of what's actually happening. Because regardless of what we know or don't know about the timing of this or that, about the restoration of the kingdom as the disciples thought, or when we are going to be freed from suffering, well, we do know a few things. And one of the things that I take great comfort from is in our Acts reading, where Jesus says that no, we're not going to talk about when all this is going to happen. But we are going to, what is going to happen is that you will receive this power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Jesus isn't ignoring the intent of their question, which is wanting to know how this is all going to come together. He's just looking at it from a different perspective and saying, well, the kingdom of God is going to come, but it's going to come in a way you don't understand. And until we actually get there, you're going to receive everything that you need so that you can play your part in making that happen. The Holy Spirit is going to come on you, and from that point on, you are going to be the witnesses of Jesus to Jerusalem first, because that's right there, and then moving out from there in concentric circles to all of the earth. We have a job to do as we wait. We have a job, we have something to accomplish as we are wondering when this kingdom is going to be restored, when we wonder about the end of suffering for what we believe, and for that matter, the end of suffering entirely. And as we go about that job, we know that we haven't been left alone. We can wonder what the ultimate future will be like, and there's nothing wrong with that, as long as we don't lose sight of what's happening here. We work towards the ultimate restoration of God's kingdom on earth, but we work toward it. We don't simply wait for it doing nothing. We've been given tasks to accomplish, and not just in our own strength, but through that power that the Holy Spirit was going to provide. In some ways, it's kind of odd, because we want to know not just the end, because we already know the end, but we want to know all the intervening steps as well. And once again, it's certainly understandable that we want to know that, but I'm not quite sure why we occasionally get so hung up on what that looks like that we lose sight of what we're actually called to do. All through Scripture, we are given fairly clear instructions about the kinds of things we are supposed to be doing. Loving each other, loving God, being kind to those people around us, reaching out to those who have nothing, caring for the sick and poverty-stricken, all of these things we're told very clearly to do. We're never told anywhere to spend a lot of time trying to figure out exactly what the signs are that mean that God's coming back in that dramatic and ultimate way. So we need to somehow draw a distinction between that desire to want to know and what we should be doing while we're waiting. And when we think of the suffering that we might be undergoing, as to look at it from the larger picture, where Peter talks about it, we need to remember that all through Peter, particularly that first letter of Peter, he's talking about the meaning of suffering. And he's reminding us over and over again that suffering in the pursuit of the good will be blessed and is worthwhile and meaningful in and of itself because of what you're trying to do. And that's why he says things like, well, if you get punished for being bad, you shouldn't think you're going to get a special blessing for that. I can't imagine anybody thought that then, and I certainly don't think anybody thinks it now. But he's letting us know that in this length of time that's going to come, or that we're living in, that began with Jesus' departure and will end with Jesus' return in that bodily way, whatever that is, and whenever that is, that the jobs that we've been called to do, the giving witness to Jesus, will continue. And it will continue not just in our own strength, but through the power that the Holy Spirit is going to provide so that we might be more than our natural talents and abilities and experience suggest we can be. And that if in the midst of that, in the midst of our attempts to bring the reality of a loving God into our immediate contexts and even beyond, if that causes us difficulty, if we are persecuted, as certainly happens in some places of the world even now, if we suffer in any way that we would consider suffering, even if it's something as non-physical as being ignored because we believe that crazy Jesus stuff, Peter says this has meaning, that what we're doing still matters, and that a blessing will come from that in this world and the next, that we're willing to continue working towards something that isn't here yet. It's difficult for us to imagine anything that takes place over hundreds of years. Long-term planning sometimes is the weekend for some people. For some governments, it's 3 years. Some corporations, it's 500 years. At one point, Mitsubishi had a 500-year plan. I don't know if they're still sticking with it or not, but and even that, we think that's extraordinary. And yet, we're in the middle of something that is so much longer than that. It's easy for us to lose sight of how much longer it is and think that it's never going to come. Well, what we get from these two passages of Scripture, at least what I got from them, is that we do want to know when it's going to happen. And perhaps for sometimes just for simple curiosity and for nothing more than that, sometimes for more significant reasons, that we want to know how to sort of expend our energy so we'll have enough to get to the end. I don't, there's lots of reasons why. But even as we're wondering why, we know beyond the slightest shadow of a doubt, as it says here and in other places, that we have a job to do that will be empowered by God in the form of the Holy Spirit within us, enabling us as we wait for that ultimate resolution of all things, to do what we have been particularly called to do, to bring the reality of the kingdom of God that is already within us, to the people around us, to our communities, and beyond. We don't have to go to Jerusalem to begin. Our Jerusalem is wherever we happen to be. We move out from there as we're able and as we are called. And even if we don't know the answer to this question that we want to know, we do know what we should be doing while we wait for that final moment. Amen.